to you some very familiar text, but I want you not to become calloused to the familiar text in the Word of God. I found myself over the last few years, me, myself, and I, that whenever someone would go to some very familiar text and God would use that individual, use that preacher to preach on that again, I'd find myself, Brother Ness, I'd find myself going, oh, I'm going to do that again? Oh, we're going there again? Then I'd dismiss that and I'd go, I've already heard that.
Come on,
that was me. And when I realized how much I was doing that, church, I looked to heaven and I said, dear God, forgive me for becoming calloused to thy word. And I asked God, I said, Father, would you help me in these familiar texts that whenever I hear this and I get the attitude that I've already heard that before or that he's going to be preaching that again, dear God, would you smite my heart yet again and show me, Father, I need to go back there and study it again. Father, would you renew that scripture to me? Show me from thy word. And I told God I was sorry for making his word commonplace. Church, we're going to go to a familiar scripture, and I'm going to show you a few things that, you know what? He wrote the book, so why can't he show me some more new things that this old flesh don't even know about? Because I'm hard-headed, but I want a soft heart. And I've asked him. So let's take a look, if you don't mind. If you can stand, if you can't, that's fine. But if you can stand, stand for the reading of the Word of God. And the Scripture, let me show you something. We're going to go verse by verse pretty quick. So if you're taking notes, write fast. Once we get set back down, so I want you to see this. In Luke chapter 16, and I want to start reading in verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. I want you to notice the name. It's important. Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and the rich man and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. Notice the name again. Send Lazarus that he would dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Let's pray. Father, I look to heaven. I say, thank you for what you've already done. And Lord, you've done it through prayer and, Lord, through obedience to your message of going. And Father, I'm just glad you put up with me. Father, I ask you, please, you help us at this hour to learn more, to see more. Open our minds and our hearts to thy word. Father, show us things. Father, make the scriptures renewed again in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In the scripture, I want you to see, one of the things that I started digging and I started seeing this familiar scripture is that I asked God to show me these things. And as I started digging, can I show you something? You need to have a dictionary with you when you read the Word of God to be able to help you, or get you one of these smartphones with a good Bible program on that thing. I am not a Greek scholar, but I know how to punch them things in and it comes up Greek and I'm like, hey, amen. And I like that. And so it helps me to be able to study even more. And so it's got a dictionary with it and everything. It's important that you do this, that you don't just skip over the words. Now watch. As I ask God to show me and not to let this be calloused, let me show you a few things in these next few moments. It says here in verse 19, there's a certain rich man. And you notice the scholars will tell you, if you do some investigation, that this is just a parable. It's not a real story. Those educated, may I say, people. It's in the Bible. I'm a believer in it.
Yeah.
It's God's word. I've settled that, but I get this educated crowd. I get that. All right. I'm not against education or anything like that, because I need some more myself. But what I want you to see about this is they say this is just a story because there's no real names here. You say in the scriptures, when you have the real names, is what they tell you is. And I said, "Dear God, I have a problem with that. I believe what you put in this, and I understand this is a glimpse into hell. This is a glimpse. You've been able to equip us to be able to have some insight to this horrible place that people go when they reject Jesus Christ. When they bow up and they say, 'No, I'm not going to trust the free gift of salvation from God and His Son.' Then that means the price of sin falls completely on us instead of on Jesus, because all we have to do is accept it and ask Him for forgiveness." Now watch. I said, "Father, help me with this." As I'm reading this, now look what it says. So there was a certain rich man. In verse number 20, it talks about a man named Lazarus. And I said, "Well, Lazarus, the man, and there is that." But I said, "Dear God, why didn't you put the rich man's name?" Some of the scholars will say, "Well, it was because it was during this lifetime, and they were afraid that it would offend the family." And I'm like, "That's not my Lord Jesus. He called sin sin and called people out. It was just what it was." You look at the Sadducees and the Pharisees, what Jesus did. I said, "Lord, help me with this." It took about 3 days for me to really meditate on this and pray. And one morning early, I was in this again, and the thought came to me. The reason that this rich man wasn't named, because in hell you don't have a name.
That's right.
You don't have a rank. All of his money couldn't buy that. And I'm not against money. I like it. It spends good. Amen. And this is not a parable that all the rich people are going to go to hell. That's not true. It's not what the scriptures have in them. There's a lot of wealthy people throughout the scriptures, and they're Christian, and it's just not what people try to read into this. And not all poor people go to heaven either. It's what we do with the free gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. But what God showed me in this, and he touched my heart, when you go to hell, you don't have a name. You don't have a rank. You don't have prestige. You don't have the power. And there's nothing more than you're just a lost soul. He said, "I named him right. He was the rich man." I said, "Father, thank you." You see, in the hardness of my own heart and the callous, there's more here. We just got to spend time with our Lord. We got to ask Him. He wrote the book. Help us know more. Look what happened next. As I'm starting to dig this out, and you know why I'm really talking about this? It's in my heart. We've got to tell our family members. We've got to tell our neighbors. May we never get tired of telling about Jesus. May we never get tired of telling about this horrible place called hell. And this is not just another story. This is from God Himself trying to equip us to tell other people about this horrible place. You're not going to have the prestige. I've had people tell me, "I'm just going to go to hell and party with my friends." No, you're not. You've been deceived. And we need to tell people and our families about hell. You're not nothing but just another lost soul. in a place you didn't have to go, but you chose it. Look what it says next. So then it says, and desiring, look at verse number 21, and desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And I was like, dear God, I've heard about dogs coming and they're licking. They have this maybe something in their saliva that helps heal. I've heard this. Is it a wise tale or what is this? And so the Lord had me and we started studying this out. And guess what? Guess what I found? The University of Florida, of all places. But the University of Florida. You don't understand, I'm Tennessee. This thing right here is offensive to me, okay? So what I'm saying is the University of Florida has actually done a study on dog saliva. And it said this, that when a dog would come, it has a healing principle, it has a healing agent in the saliva. There's an enzyme that they are now trying from dog saliva to extract to be able to promote healing. But the very next sentence was, do not be deceived. There's a lot of bacteria in the dog's saliva for what they eat, and don't let them lick you in the face and all these things and all like that. And you understand where I'm going with this. And it was like, okay, all right, I get this. But what about, then all of a sudden, it talked about this. Do you know that this rich man didn't have anybody to help him? This poor man didn't have anybody to help him? Can I show you something else? God said, nobody will help you, but I've got some dogs that can come by. And as they lit, they cleaned up some of the dirt that he couldn't get away from. And then he promoted, I just figured that God had some germ-free dogs. Amen. That's who he is. Can I show you something? As I close in this, and just another thought. You know what the scriptures tell us? They refer to us as Gentile dogs. I'm talking about in the scriptures. Can I show you something? God's got some old poor people out there that they don't know Jesus and they don't know much of anything else. But God's got some Gentile dogs, in which I am one, and He wants us to go out and reach those that can't help themselves and tell them about. And can I show you something? They're sore and they're hurting and they're down and out. And can I show you something in the scripture? What else? You see that word laid right there real quickly? It says that they laid him in verse 20 at the gate. That word laid also has, in our English language, means to be thrust as well. When you look up the definition, you look this up, he was not laid down gently, he was thrust down. They threw him down. In other words, there was no one to care for his soul. But somewhere God said, you know what? I'm still going to send you some help because I know you need help. And God said, I love you that much. It may not be all the best in the world, but God said, I haven't forgot you. Church, you never know who we're talking to. You never know who you're going to tell about this place called heaven. And may I encourage you this? May I encourage you just to keep on giving tracts out. May I encourage you just keep on telling people and show them these things in the Word of God and where they don't want to go. Because God is lining you up with people who try to keep out of heaven. That's the thought I had tonight. There's much more in this, and I want you to do some study. And don't let Satan rob you of the fact that, oh, I've heard that before. I have repented. And I said, dear God, renew this in my heart. I need to. Amen.